Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Good morning and welcome to worship today. We hope you're all staying safe and keeping well. We're going to continue today with our Lent series, which if you've been tuning into us over recent weeks will know it's Who Do I Say I Am? Taking those words of Jesus where he asked the disciples, who did they say he was? We're looking at the I Am sayings found in John's Gospel. We began a few weeks ago in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, looking at how God himself described himself as the great I Am and how it's possible for us to know this God. And then we moved on through the weeks looking at I Am the Bread of Life, I Am the Light of the World. Last week, Claire on Mother's Day looked at I Am the Good Shepherd. And this morning we're going to continue our Lent series looking at the I Am sayings by turning to John chapter 15 and the first 8 verses where Jesus describes himself as I am the vine. And we're going to know something of God's power today and how it's possible for us to know God's power. Before we continue, let's just pause for a second. And why don't you just turn to your scripture, open your Bible up, John chapter 15, and read the first 8 verses through. Well, these are certainly uncertain days, and during the last week as a key worker, I've been going into the hall each day to make sure that the office was manned so that I could deal with issues that arose. It's been very quiet in the building without everyone coming and going. I've missed you all greatly. No conversations with people, no activities to get ready, and no one to tell me that this or that is broken or not working. In the 4 years we've been here, I've discovered that our building never seems to be problem-free, and somewhere each week something seems to break or not work properly. Surely with no one in the building this week using it, all would be well. Wrong! On Tuesday morning, we started to have a problem with the telephone line. Ringing in was fine, so if you dialed the hall, you could get through, but ringing out was quite different. We were getting cut off after entering only a few digits of the phone number. Sometimes it would take 3 or 4 attempts before we'd manage to get an outside line to connect. I've had many conversations this week with our telephone provider, and they just cannot seem to grasp what is wrong. They call me to ask, get through, and then tell me that the line is fine. After all, we're talking with each other. And rather frustratingly, at the end of every conversation, I end up telling them, well, you come and sit where I am. You try dialing out. As I speak, it's still not fixed. I'm getting lines out, but it's taking a wee while to do it. The green exchange box is outside our building, but still I am powerless to fix it. My Christian experience has had many similar moments, times when getting through to God has been difficult. The source of communion, of power, has been close by, and yet I felt very cut off from it. It's one of the most common experiences of the Christian life. Many great Bible characters have known it too. God feels far away. You feel destitute, dry, and desperate for a sense that he's still there, still listening, still caring. And yet it's been hard to commune. You know, during these unprecedented days of lockdown, isolation is something we each may feel. Yes, we have our technology to keep us in touch, and no doubt you're Facebooking and Zooming or WhatsApping. But how important it is to know God's presence and power with us as well. Here in John chapter 8, Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me. In other words, be connected. Know me as your source of God's power and strength. Like the other I am sayings, there is a connection to Old Testament images here. In the Old Testament, the grapevine was a symbol of Israel. Many passages speak of Israel as being God's vineyard. In fact, the entrance to the temple would have reminded worshippers going in of this as well, because over the doorway would have been a giant gold grapevine carved into the door frame. Jesus spoke these words to followers near the end of his time on earth. He was preparing them for his departure. Soon he would be crucified, and Jesus knew this would be a crucial time for the disciples and the faith that they had in him. We're not sure what inspired the illustration. He could have been in a house with a grapevine climbing up the wall on the outside, and he saw it through the window. He could have actually been near the temple and could see the temple doorway from where he was speaking. Wherever he was, he makes it very clear to those listening that he is the vine. If Israel is God's vineyard, then by claiming to be the vine, he was claiming the authority and power of God to be living in him. He was saying he was connected to the source of the nation's strength. He was going away, but he was telling his followers by being connected to him, they would be connected to God and to God's power. In his own commentary, N.T. Wright says this: within the Jewish tradition, the vine was a picture of Israel. God brought a vine out of Egypt and planted it in the Promised Land. This vine had been ravaged by wild animals and needed protecting and re-establishing. By saying he is the true vine, Jesus is declaring that he is the one through whom God's purposes will be fulfilled. Like the vine, Christ is the true source of eternal life, love and hope. So Jesus tells his followers that they are to be branches. Well, just think about it for a moment. The branch is actually the middle bit, isn't it? You've got the trunk or the vine at one end, the fruit or the flower at the other end. What links the trunk to the flower, the vine to the fruit? Well, it's the branch in the middle. As a child, I'd often go to our grandparents' house during the week. They live close by, so we used to visit them often. Their house was a modest house, but it had what seemed like a very long garden compared to our own house, which only had a little postage stamp of lawn at the back. And my grandparents loved their garden. It was practical, but it was a garden for every one of us, for all to enjoy. My granddad had a greenhouse that he spent a lot of time in, but there was also a nice lawn and a swing for us to play on. My grandmother had a patch of chrysanthemums that she grew and was very proud of. The mint that we used to have with our dinner on a Sunday was on the left. The vegetables, runner beans, sprouts, carrots were there on the right. Right at the back of the garden, I remember the strawberry plants used to be situated, and there was a red currant tree. And then, of course, in the corner of the garden was the rhubarb plants. Around the outside of the garden was my granddad's rose trees, and he loved his rose trees. But a job that he often used to give us to do as children was to help him lop the dead rose heads off with the secateurs. I love that. I don't know whether it was something about having the power of the secateurs in my hand, but I loved helping with this. And yet I quickly had to learn there was an art to this. It wasn't just a case of chopping the head off. You had to find the nearest bud down the stem, cut just above to take away the dead stuff, but encourage the new stuff to grow. And we mustn't forget the horrible, thin, prickly suckers that used to grow from the main rose tree trunk at the bottom of the rose tree. All this pruning was essential. Why? Because it took away energy from the rose tree. Jesus spoke of his followers being branches, and as he did, he crucially spoke of pruning, taking away the bits that were unhelpful, taking away the things that stop the power flowing into the branch. Do you know what? I think we've all got those activities and relationships that sap our energy, but they're not really productive. There are times that we each, I'm sure, feel that the real priorities in our life don't get the attention that they need. Let me ask you for a moment, what areas of your life deserve the greatest energy? What areas of your life deserve the greatest energy? And what are the activities that rob you of your best energy? It's funny, isn't it? Our time and our energies do not always get appropriately apportioned. And one of the most beneficial things that we can do is to regularly reflect on how we spend our energies. One of my favourite go-to books that I read often to try and keep my energies on track is a book called Running on Empty by Wayne Cadero. And if you've not read it, I highly recommend it to you. Wayne Cadero started at a large church in Honolulu, but he found himself experiencing burnout trying to lead this large church. In his book, he talks about protecting the 5%. And in essence, he says that nearly 95% of what we do, others can do, and they will do. One day, somebody else will take over our job. Somebody else can repair our house. We're not the only ones that can do that. Somebody can volunteer to do work in our place. It doesn't rely on us. And yet, there is 5% of what we do that no one else can do. And this is what he talked about, protecting the 5%. You know, nobody else can be a husband to Claire other than me. Nobody else can be a father to my two little girls. Nobody else can take care of my health. I can't designate somebody else to go run 5 miles for me. And nobody else can look after my soul. All these things are down to me. And that's the same for you. There is 5% of our lives that only you can do. And therefore it's important to prune our life accordingly to make sure we're protecting the 5%. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Pruning the unproductive and unnecessary is one thing. There are times that the gardener has to take away that which is dead completely. In our garden here in Birmingham, we have a beautiful apple blossom shrub that grows most of the year. It doesn't do an awful lot, but come the spring, it blossoms beautifully into white flowers. And at this time of year, the white flowers are magnificent, though I know that in a few weeks' time, they will die away. And what I've noticed over the years is towards the end of their peak, as the flowers are dying away, the branches actually start to sag under the weight of the dying blooms. Now, these flowers are not taking any energy from the plant because they're actually dead. But it is taking energy for the branches to keep them propped up. And when I go along and I chop the heads away from these dead apple blossom flowers, the branch springs back into life, into its normal place. And if it could speak, I'm pretty sure it would say to me, phew, thank you for that. That was heavy. I wonder how many of us have things that have no hope of producing good things, but actually they're weighing us down in life. Things like regret or resentment or bitterness or living for past glories. These are the kind of things that we hold on to, and they become heavy, they weigh us down, they don't actually help our productivity, but they do take our energy. And rather than holding on to these things, we need to cut them away. Do you know what? I think it sounds so simple to say this, And yet I think these are some of the hardest things to let go of. And I don't claim that the process of getting rid of the heavy things is easy. But actually it is a necessity, and over time we need to do it. To be effective branches and stay connected to Christ the vine, it's important to remove the unnecessary, to prune. And so Jesus naturally focused on that in those opening verses. But there's also another important thing to remember. We have to be focused on the vine. Jesus went on to say, "Remain in me, and as I also remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. A branch doesn't live in isolation from the vine. It remains attached. Often when we study this passage, our emphasis is on the fruit end of the branch. And in life, we so often measure our worth by what we produce and by comparing our fruit to what other people produce. And you know, we're fine if we're producing well. But if not, it can lead to a real sense of isolation, of despondency, of being cut off almost. Rob Fuquay adds a refreshing new take on this in his book, The God We Can Know That We Are Following Through Our Lent Series, when he says this: "We can obsess over fruit. We start to believe that the fruit is up to us. But Jesus says it's not. That's not our job. Our job is to be a branch and let God's power flow through us. We have to ask ourselves, do I receive my identity from the things I produce or the one who produces through me?" I think that's a great quote. I don't know whether you've ever pictured yourself as a branch. Probably not. But just for the moment, it's a great illustration to use. On one side is the vine, the trunk. On the other side is the fruit. And if you're the branch in the middle, which way do you look most of the time? Do you tend to look towards the fruit, to the things you're trying to do or achieve, the activities that occupy your life, the demands that are placed upon you? Or do you look towards the vine, towards the source of the energy, the strength, the power? If the disciples hearing Jesus' words here in John 15 were going to survive and to flourish, they would need to learn to look towards the vine and not towards the fruit. And it's the same for us. The God we can know says, "Look to me. Let me help you cut away the things you do not need." Let's acknowledge that we cannot produce everything that we would like to. And let's acknowledge that we need help. And we need to know God's power to help us. The good news is that we have a God who we can know. And we can know God's power each and every day. "Who do you say I am?" That's what Jesus asks. Well, today Jesus says to us, "I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me." It's going to be God who's going to produce the fruit. We are just to be the branches. And so as we come to the close this morning, in the quietness of today, why don't you take Jesus' illustration for yourself? Picture yourself as the branch through whom the power of God is flowing through. That on one side you have the source of power. On the other side you have all the things you hope to achieve and produce. And as you imagine yourself as that branch, why don't you just take a few minutes to read John 15, sentence by sentence. And as you do, may you know God's power today flowing through you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray today to abide in you. Plant in us the power of your presence. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Show us the areas of our lives that deserve the greatest energy. And show us also the kind of things that rob us of our best energy and help us to prune them away. Take away from us the things that weigh us down, things that maybe we haven't gotten rid of down the years. And keep us focused on the true vine, Jesus Christ. Let us be the branch and let God's power flow through us. Lord, help us to think clearly, act wisely and speak kindly, and to strive to have our actions reflect your glory. We ask that you will abide in us and always be with us to comfort us, strengthen us and fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.